Let's do it. I am Jeff K. This is the Jeff K. Show. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Thanks for finding us. And et cetera. I like when people say and et cetera. As far as I know, et cetera means and so on. Possibly and so forth. One of those two. It's in that neighborhood. So when people say and et cetera, they're basically saying and so on. These are the kinds of things I fixate on. These are the kind of things I notice. Things that can, you know, help me further my career. Things that could make me a better person, a better father, a better husband. Now that shit goes zooming right past me. But when somebody says, and et cetera, man, I'm locked in on that. So there's other ones as well. For instance, ATM machine. How's this for a scenario? Let me hit you with this scenario. A person, say, they can go down to the automated teller machine, punch in their personal identification number, take out a 20, head on down the road, buy some of that good Kentucky Fried Chicken, and etc. So there you go. There's a good scenario for you. As I record this, I'm having a beer. I'm having some kind of Founders. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's called. It's some kind of IPA. Very hoppy, which means it has like that bitter aftertaste. Love the bitter aftertaste. Big fan of the IPAs. Hang on a second. Let me take a slug off this bastard. Very good. As I'm recording this, yesterday was my birthday. Man, there was electricity in the air. The air particles were electrified. Actually, I'm not 11 years old anymore, so I don't like, I'm not one of these guys or people who expect other people to treat them like royalty. This is my special day. You know these people? Today is my special day. No. Being born, not that great of an accomplishment. It's fairly common. Everybody's been born, including Hitler. So I don't know. I used to be fairly hostile. I used to get angry if some... I mean, I'd try not to show it outwardly. But if anybody brought it up, I'd actually get kind of angry, especially outside my home. I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to walk around with a crown on, figuratively or literally. But you know what I'm saying. I'm not 11 years old anymore. People, adults who make a gigantic deal about their birthday, dubious in my book. So I don't want to be that guy. So anyway, but over the last few years, I have to admit, I've softened a bit on the subject. And there are a few things that I will admit to enjoying about my birthday. And those things are an upgraded meal, either, you know, some kind of made-to-order, you know, dinner at home, something, your favorite meal usually. What do you want? And so you get to pick what's cooked, and so that's good. Or you go to a restaurant. You get to go to a restaurant. So in either case, you get the upgraded meal. I mean, there's no way to paint that in a net. You can't put a negative spin on that shit. So then also there's the let's see, what else? Oh, Facebook. I don't like Facebook. It's on the record. I mean, I'm very clear on that, Facebook. But you know what? I don't have any issue with the birthday ritual where people just automatically go on there and say happy birthday, whatever. HBD. Some people can't even, you know, they just put HBD. Man, that's from the heart. Right there. Anyway, I don't mind that. It's kind of fun to see who goes in there and makes the effort. I every day when I pick up my phone every morning, pick my phone up off the nightstand when I, you know, after my alarm goes off, and it starts chirping at me. One of the things that it hits me with every day is these friends of yours have birthdays today. So you should go over, it's scolding me, basically. You should go over there and wish them a happy birthday. Sometimes I do. Many times I don't. Or sometimes I just, like, I see it and I just kind of do a right sweep. I just sweep the shit right off my screen without even seeing the names. Is that bad? I don't know. But sometimes I go over there and I'll type out happy birthday or put some kind of, occasionally I'll even go beyond that, you know, and add something more personal than that. But often I don't, so I'm not real consistent with that. But I don't mind that part of it. I don't mind the, you know, the mini avalanche of happy birthdays that come on Facebook. It's one of the more pleasant things about Facebook, even though it probably means nothing really. But and the third thing is, I always feel like I'm justified in spending a little bit of money on myself. I feel guilty most of the time if I buy something. But on my birthday, pop over on Amazon or go to a store, it doesn't matter. And maybe, you know, plunk down 50, 60 bucks on something. And I'm justified in doing it because it's my birthday, you know. So those are the three things that are positive, I will admit. But I'm not going to be wearing a crown saying, this is my special day. That's not me. Being born, not that great of an accomplishment. So that's that. Anyway, it was yesterday. It's in the rearview mirror already. It's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know how I got. I feel like I'm 32, and I'm not kidding. That's about what I feel. I feel like I'm about 32 years old, but I'm not. I'm much older than that. And I was talking to my dad about that, and he goes, well, if you're old, just think about what that says about me. I was thinking, yeah, but you've embraced it. You know, you've gone all in on it. You live half your year in Florida. You go to the early birds to save $2 on an entree. You get steaks the size of a silver dollar. What is that? What is when you turn 70? When you pass 70, your portions are just like so small. It's like you're eating like a 5 year old. You start eating applesauce and shit like that. Yeah. So that's not the same. I have not embraced it. I'm still fighting it. He's embraced it. He and my mom fully embrace the senior citizen thing. You know, they have no issue with that. That's not me, so we're not in the same, it's not the same situation, so I'm still fighting it. I feel like I'm 32, but I'm not anymore. I don't know, it bugs me. I feel like I'm running out of time, got so much to do. You know, what do I do with my days? That's right, I look at my tablet. That's not completely true, but feels like I spend too much time doing shit like that. Anyway, yesterday was my birthday. Today is not, so let's just move on. I wanted to tell you about the other day. I was in Sheetz, which is a big convenience store. I don't know how far into the country that Sheetz ventures, but there's like these two chains in this area. One's Sheetz and one is Wawa. Both of them have horrible names. So there's this. Everybody has their opinion. Are you a Sheetz guy or are you a Wawa guy? So I will never be known as a Wawa guy. just saying that. But anyway, the Sheetz, we don't have Wawa up here. They're down for a little bit south of us. But, you know, someday we'll probably be sharing territory. But anyway, I went in Sheetz to buy. All right. So I was going to go in there and buy some hot dogs. This is the way. So, I've always heard that Sheetz has great food. This is the mythology. Sheetz, for a convenience store, They have really good food. They have a full kitchen. You can go in there. You can order off those touch screens, and they'll cook that shit up for you right in front of you. It's really good. Not super expensive. And, you know, it's open 24 hours a day. Just go in there, pop in there whenever you want. Usually these are potheads telling me this, but not always. They have a reputation for having great food. The only time I've ever, up until recently, bought any food from there is when I was writing my, it's a novel. I feel a little pretentious calling it a novel because, I don't know, my novel. This is my special day. Have you read my novel? but anyway, I wrote a novel a few years back, and three, four times, I did this thing where I'm a little hesitant in talking about this, but during the writing process, took me a long time to write this thing. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done, but I would go out to this state park, which is about 5 miles from here, and I would rent in the campground. They have a campground in there, and they have a bunch of cabins in there. And they also have yurts, you know, these round houses. They have a couple of those in there, what I would do is I would wait till school started in the fall, and I would rent one of these yurts. So during the week, maybe like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I'd rent it for 3 days. Like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday during the week after school was in session. So there's no kids, no shitty little buzz cut hicklet children running around there like little Campbell soup kids screaming at the top of their lungs, yelling, covered in dirt. I can't have that. So I'd wait till school starts, maybe like September, late September or in October or something. And I would rent a yurt for 3 days, and it was off season. So it was $33 a day, $33 a day. It's out in the woods. It's it's round, covered in canvas. And, it's really cool. It's cooler than you would think, or it was cooler than I would have thought. It's got hardwood floors. It's got a dining room table in there with a light hanging right above it. It's got a full-size refrigerator, a microwave. It's got some bunks in the back, which I never used. I never slept out there because it was, it was like in the daytime, being out there by yourself. Basically, you're out there by yourself. It's beautiful. There's birds chirping. Oh, it's nice. Then you leave the screen door. You latch the screen door, but leave the heavy door open so the wind, you know, the breeze can come in. You hear the birds chirping. There's nobody out there except you. Ah, it's beautiful. As soon as the sun started going down, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's what it was like. Friday the 13th out there. So I was scared shitless. I don't sleep out there in that slaughterhouse. So as soon as the sun started going down, I'd pack all my shit up in my car and go back home. And then in the morning, the next morning, I'd stop at Sheetz and get a sub. And everybody said, this place is fantastic. It's a great resource. They have good food all the time. So I'd go over there and get a foot-long sub, and usually turkey, just normal shit, nothing too crazy. And I had all my stuff. I had like a cooler with some, whatever snacks that I'd take out there, and I had a coffee machine out there. I took that with me, and I had a little thing. I had it all set up out there. It had electricity in there. And heat and everything. It was cool. So I'd go buy a sub every morning on my way to the yurt village. And I would eat it for lunch whenever I'd get hungry. And the thing was, I'd rate it a good C-. Not good. The thing was not good. The bread was rubbery. It tastes like some kind of home. It just tastes like something you'd throw together at home. Wasn't very good. I don't know. So that was my exposure to it. So I thought, well, apparently what these people think's good and what I think is good, two different things. These things were Subway, if you can believe it. Subway sucks too, but I think these were worse than Subway. So that was my exposure to Sheetz food. By the way, that whole yurt thing, I think I'm going to start doing that again in the spring. As soon as we emerge from the deep freeze of this winter, I'm going to go out there and I got another book in me that I'm thinking about. And so in the spring, I think I'm going to do that again. I want to return to the yurt village. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to sit in the round canvas building, middle of the woods, my laptop. And I'm going to write another ridiculous novel. Hopefully this one won't be as hard as the first one. That thing almost killed me. But anyway, that's the plan. I'm going back in, baby. I'm going back in on the yurt. Got a little mockery at the website about that. That's all right, you know. When you're dead inside, the mockery doesn't hurt when you're dead. The only thing at this point in my life, the only emotion that's remained is aggravation. It's the only one. It's the only one left. Just aggravation. Everything else burned out. The sensors have all been burned out. They're all black and burned up. So anyway, I'm going to go in there this spring. I'm going to start in on the second novel. It's been a few years. I think I can do it a little bit faster. And I learned some things, some mistakes that were made. God knows it's true. So I'm going to try to do it again this spring. So stay tuned for that. More news from Yurt Village. Anyway, so that was my only exposure to the Sheetz Kitchen. And I didn't have a very high opinion of it. So, but recently, somebody said something about they have great hot dogs in there. I'm like, hot dogs? I had no idea they had hot dogs. I like hot dogs. I think they get a bad rap. I think they're on the way out, it seems like. It feels like hot dogs might possibly be the next bologna sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, when I was a kid, everybody, and I mean everybody, ate bologna all the time. That was in everybody's refrigerator. You open that shit up, bologna in there. And everybody ate bologna sandwiches all through my childhood. Now nobody eats it. And I don't even know if they sell it anymore. So I think hot dogs are heading in that direction, which kind of makes me sad. I like the hot dogs. But they have to have all the toppings and everything. It's hard to find a place that sells them. I guess there are old-fashioned hot dog stands, but not around here, at least not in, you know, where I live. I think there's a place up in Scranton. That's too far. I'm not driving all the way up there. God. Anyway, so somebody told me they had good hot dogs. I went in there one day. It was that day when I got stuck in that snow. That's when it was. When I had that four-hour ride home, I went in there and I ordered some hot dogs with sauerkraut. And mister, those things hit the spot. And they were so cheap. You know, they were cheap to begin with. And then they scanned my Sheetz card, knocked like another $1.50 off. I was like, holy mackerel. You guys are almost paying me to eat these things. So now I'm kind of mildly fixated on them. I'm hung up on these hot dogs. So I stopped in there the other day to get some. And there was some guy out front working on the cement, doing something, patching something out by the pumps, you know, out by the gas pumps. So there's two guys out there, and one of them was on his hands and knees, and he's like scrubbing something with, like he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's doing something with the cement, and his entire ass was out. I'm not talking about, this is not plumber's crack. I mean, 100% of his ass was outside of his pants. And he was down, there was, the place was packed. There were people everywhere. And he's out there, doing some kind of like scrubbing motion with his hands down on his knees, and his entire 100% full ass was completely outside of his pants. It was snowing. There was snow coming down on his ass. So, you know, he could feel it. I mean, he knew. I mean, how could you? I mean, there's no way that you could have your full ass outside in the snow. There's wind whistling across it. There's probably some kind of a whistling, howling effect. You know, I didn't hear it, but I suspect that there was. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I grabbed my phone. I was going to get a photo of it, and there was some guy in a Mercedes waiting on my parking space. I was backing out, and I saw this ass. I was like, oh, my God, look at that. Grabbed my phone, and this guy in this white Mercedes is, like, giving me the international sign for, what the fuck, you know, get out of the way. So I buckled under pressure, didn't get the photo, and, beat myself up about it all day. I was like, damn it. I should have pulled over. I should have went and parked in the side lot, walked back over there, took a picture of this guy's ass, returned to my car, ate my hot dogs while traveling on Interstate 81 at 70 miles an hour, and all would have been right with the world. But no, I buckled. The guy pressured me. Mr. White Mercedes, you can, oh man, you are the undisputed whistle dick of the week. How's that? That's an impromptu whistle dick. But anyway, I thought that was quite unusual. I've seen people. I blow my jeans out all the time because I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I'm sure my crack is sticking out. I mean, I'm built for crack exposure. My body build. You know, I am made for crack exposure, but this guy, wow. I've never had my entire full ass out. Not out, you know, in a situation like that. So anyway, I thought I'd tell you guys about that. Also, I was talking to my son the other day about this guy I used to work with in Atlanta. He was a big shot sales manager, and he was a bizarre guy. And he had this office. I mean, he was probably making, this is back in mid 90s. He was probably making like $120,000 a year. He was like high paid. He was a big shot sales manager. He had people reporting to him. And, he had this office on the front of the building with a big window, but he had like blackout blinds in there. It was dark all the time. He didn't turn his lights on. In the office itself, he had like this little spotlight on his desk. So look, when you walked by there, it looked like the frickin' Oz sitting there. So, and then the place was all decorated with all these like stuff from the Orient, like old like swords and stuff, heavy carpeting hanging, like rugs hanging on the walls and stuff. I mean, the place was decorated like ridiculous. And he's sitting in there with a spotlight on his face in complete darkness. Has this giant window that he's completely blacked out. Super eccentric. Apparently had no sense of humor at all. I saw no evidence that he had any sense of humor whatsoever. So the guy was weird. And, you know, never laughed, never made a joke. So what does he do? He goes into sales and becomes very, very successful at, I don't know. But I had to work with him, unfortunately. And he would try to give me, like, life advice. And I'm sitting there thinking, this guy's like way more successful than I am. But I really don't need any advice from this dude. If he thinks I want to be more like him, he's fooling himself. But he was cocky, walked around there with this air of importance. It was the video business. He was the sales manager, and this is back in the VHS days. And back in those days, there was the way the video business worked is they had two divisions. They had rental, where all the money was made, the rental side, and then there was the sell-through side. So rental, back in those days, this is back when there was Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, all these rental stores, they would buy tapes from us for like $65 a pop. So we're manufacturing these things for $1.25 or whatever, selling them for $65. This guy's like raking in the cash. So these places will buy them for $65 or whatever, and then have to recoup. They get rentals exceeding that equal more than $65. And it's all profit, you know. That's the way it worked. So there was rental. That was the big part. That was the money-driving part of the whole business, the rental side. And then you had this sell-through side. That's the basically dump bins at Walmart, the $5.99 dump bins, any kind of like crap that's been out for a long time that they sell for whatever, some small amount of money. So the sell-through side was lesser than. So hang on, let me have another hit of this beer. Getting all dried out. Oh man, whoo. Things got some wang to it. So anyway, so he had this cocky. There was another sales manager for the sell-through side. Occasionally, when something big would come out, say Twister, for instance, it would go direct to sell-through instead of so the day it came out, it would be available at Target or whatever or Walmart, in addition to the rental stores. But most, I'd say 95% of movies went rental for a year and then or 8 months, whatever, then went to sell through. And rental had all the prestige. This guy was the rental sales manager. Looked down his nose at the sell through sales manager. This guy was low rent, you know. So he walked around there all cocky. And one day they decided, well, not one day, but at some point, VHS went out the window and DVD came in. And when DVD came in, there was no rental anymore. It was all sell-through. So he went from just instantly, almost at the snap of a finger, this guy went from king of the world to he was the one who was a second-class citizen. And the sell-through guy, because all DVDs were sell-through, There was no DVD rental stuff. It was all sell through, and he became the second banana. And he was taken down a notch, and he never really recovered. Also, this guy, he used to sit in his little dark office with his pin light on his face, and would fart, fill his entire office and all adjacent area was farted up. He farted everything up. So this guy was a natural born salesman. He was farty. He had no sense of humor. He was arrogant, and he looked down his nose at everybody and tried to give me life advice. He also gave me a book. There was a movie called A River Runs Through It. He gave me the book version of that. I guess the book that the movie was based on. He goes, I think you're going to like this. Just take this home and read it, and you'll like it. Thank you. You know, it's yours. You know, whatever. So he told me it's mine. And then a year later, hey, you ever going to return that book? Ah, what a weirdo. But anyway, I was telling my son about this guy. He went from one day he's the king of the world, talking, just looking down his nose at everybody. Next day, he's out of, he was second class citizen, and then he was out of a job. So anyway, you can't treat people like that. I was trying to give my son a little bit of a life lesson. Father knows best. So anyway, I thought I'd pass that along as well. It could be number 573 in my long list of colorful ex-coworkers. There's plenty others. I got enough for years and years of podcast episode. So this thing's a little all over the place. We're at the end. We're at 30 minutes, and I'm going to call it quits. You guys have yourselves a great week, and I will be back on Thursday. If you want to listen to the Thursday shows, you're going to have to go over to patreon.com/Jeff K. That's patreon.com/Jeff K. And sign up for a $4 or more patronage. So you guys have yourselves a great day. I will be back on Thursday at Patreon. I'll see you. Have a good one. Bye. I'm built for crack exposure.